Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animated features not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and okay, if my voice sounds a little weird, I've got a cold, I don't know, the flu maybe, I don't know. But that's okay, I can still talk, and I'm glad that I can because this is an episode focused on an animated feature that was nominated for Best Animated Film a few years ago. Not sure how many of you have actually watched it, but it's a foreign feature known as I Lost My Body. Now, if you're curious to watch it, I Lost My Body is, as far as I know, currently on Netflix. And yeah, I can see why this was nominated for Best Animated Film. It's not the one that I would have wanted to win that year. It was 2019. It lost out to Toy Story 4, which, you know, long story short, this one's better than Toy Story 4, but it's still not the one that I wanted to win that year. And yeah, it's just a really interesting, weird little movie that definitely is not going to appeal to the younger viewers. But if you're an adult who loves animation and wants to see different things from animation, this is definitely one to check out. The whole movie follows a hand that's been dismembered from a person, and the hand's trying to go back to that body. So essentially, it's at first, like when I started watching it, I was kind of thinking about Ding from the Addams Family, like the little hand, because it's kind of moving around like that, and it's just going around, and you're kind of like, what's it doing? Like, why is it trying to escape from this office? And to be fair, it's very well done animation. Like, this is pretty much like a 2D. I'm not sure if it's 2D with 3D, because at times it kind of looks like a CG thing. But for the most part, it is a 2D film from the looks of it. Like I said, you get this hand walking around like it's Ding from the Addams Family. You don't exactly know why it's alive. You just know that, okay, it's alive, and without dialogue on it, you already know its goal. Like, okay, it's clearly trying to get back to its body. But fortunately, we do get to learn a lot about the person who it's attached to, as the movie is comprised of a lot of flashbacks, basically showcasing the life of the person who owns the hand. And with that, we, of course, get, you know, more of our dialogue sequences. Pretty much, like, whenever it comes to the hand scenes, it's like a silent feature. When we get to the flashbacks, that's where I wouldn't say it gets dialogue heavy. There's still a lot of visual stuff, but you get a lot more conversation. So it's, you know, definitely one of those movies where it's like you definitely have to pay attention to what's going on, especially as a lot that gets said becomes important, which is great. You know, it is very different in that regards to a lot of animated features that a lot of people would be more familiar with. Like I said, it's definitely more for adults than it is for kids. Just a very weird, but great film. You know, it is one that I imagine that not everyone's going to like, because they're going to feel it's too artsy, or they might be confused as to why an animated film is not appealing to just the kids, because, of course, there's still a lot of that bias, but you know, if you take down if you lower your guard down and just watch the movie, take it as is, it's just a beautiful piece. The stuff with the hand, it's like a great adventure on its own, just seeing how it tries to move from one thing to another, seeing how it learns to adapt to its situations, because you'll see it, you know, crawling out of the office, and it struggles at first to walk, but then it quickly realizes that, okay, this is how it can balance, this is how it can grab into stuff. You see it, you know, dealing with rats and just all manner of things. And this is going on as, like I said, we go through the whole life of the main character, who is a man named Nafu. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. honestly, it's of course not a name that I'm used to saying, and it's it is said throughout the movie. It is one of those things where it's like I got so lost into this world that I kind of just didn't really even think about the names too often of the characters. But yeah, you have this young man who basically, like, we get to learn quite a bit from him. Like, as a kid, he was constantly playing with, like, a voice recorder, which ends up being an important thing throughout the movie. He, you know, of course, is this just very curious little boy with his loving parents. The father tries teaching him how to swat at a fly properly with just his hand. And again, that becomes important as the movie goes along. And tragedy strikes as the parents are met with a deadly fate, resulting in the young boy going over to a different country with his uncle and his kind of crappy cousin. And they're pretty much, you know, it's pretty much just a bad life for him. Like, you know, if you've seen any kind of tragic story about a boy losing his parents, you probably can get the gist of it. The whole idea of, like, okay, the person who ends up taking care of him is just no good, just awful. As we see him grow up, he has a job as a pizza delivery boy, but he's bad at it. Like, we quickly are told, like, yeah, he tends to get late on delivery, so he tends to give the pizzas for free because that's, you know, it's the typical pizza thing. Like, you know, if it doesn't arrive at this point, it's free. Then it becomes a romance story as he encounters, not specifically encounters, but pretty much he tries getting to a woman, her pizza, of course, again, late, but she's upstairs. It's in a whole apartment, and they only over talk, and it's a very nice little scene where they talk with each other for a little bit. At first you're like, okay, yeah, the lady's gonna insult him for being late, treat him badly, but as it goes along, you start realizing, okay, they're, you know, having a nice conversation, and they're able to bond a little bit, and the woman is at least able to acknowledge, like, look, yeah, it's kind of annoying that you know, have taken so long with the pizza, but I see that you're going through a bad time, and yeah, you probably shouldn't even be doing this job if that's the case. And through this, the main character ends up falling in love with the girl, her name being Gabriel, I believe. And essentially, from there, what happens is that, you know, using little clues from their conversation, he's able to deduce where she works at, but doesn't want to, directly talk to her, tell her, like, hey, it's me, I'm the guy that you talked to the other night. So he tries playing up, like, this, I don't want to say, like, a fantasy, but, like, you know, he tries, you know, being cool with her, you know, he tries, because she has, like, an uncle who has, like a carpentry job, I believe it was. I know it was with wood. And essentially, he decides to become the apprentice to the uncle, working under him. And, of course, he uses this as a way to get closer to the girl. They talk, they flirt. You know, it's all going good until he eventually decides, like, okay, I'm going to reveal myself to her. And it doesn't go so well because, well, while it sounds romantic, and in many ways, you know, we're fed a lot of media that tells us, like, hey, going out of your way to find this girl that you like is romantic. It's also one of those things where it's like, well, you kind of been following this girl around based on a little meeting you had who knows how long ago, and you never even bothered considering how creepy it sounds that you've been trying to hype up this whole, you know, reveal that, oh, I'm the guy that you met who knows how long ago, and I was able to figure out where you work and everything. And of course, she also calls him out because it's like, hey, look, if you were just trying to, you know, hook up with me and use my uncle, you know, to take advantage of that, is like, keep in mind, he's an old man, and, you know, he's, you know, having his own health issues. You just doing this without even consideration for his needs is bad. And it's like, I mean, she's not wrong. So you clearly get this idea of like, okay, he's messed up. And of course, things end up being okay in the end, but it's still one of those things where it's like, yeah, it is nice to see a movie actually acknowledge like, hey, just doing this whole big, great romantic gesture is not actually all that romantic from a, the point of view of the person that you're trying to woo. It's kind of stalkerish, and it's understandable. It is, it isn't easy to always try to do what you think is right when you have those feelings. Like you'll become so desperate for it that you'll go out of your way not realizing, hey, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But of course, this is all intricate with scenes where, with the hand going around, we see it interacting with a child, and it's a whole great big adventure. There's even stuff where it ties back to the beginning, where eventually the hand, and I don't want to spoil too much, basically is able to fly off with an umbrella, and a whole thing with an astronaut. It's definitely great stuff. By the end, there's a whole reunion as we figure out what exactly led to the main character losing his hand, and it's pretty much a whole shop accident with the workshop. I don't know if I really want to give it away because it is a pretty great scene, and it is one of those where, like, once you figure out, you're like, I know what's coming, and I don't want to see it, but at the same time, okay, how exactly did he mess this up? But yeah, it's great, and eventually, even though the hand reunites, and I won't spoil exactly what happens, but it's a whole lesson in growth and understanding that bad things may happen, but that doesn't control your destiny, and it doesn't mean that your whole life will be defined by that bad thing. I don't know if just saying that kind of tells you what exactly is the fate with the hand and him reuniting, but it's definitely not a Disney ending, so to speak. Not that it isn't a happy ending, but it isn't a thing where it's like, everyone comes together, they all start dancing, all that stuff. And yeah, it's fantastic for it. It's a very well animated movie. The stuff with the hand is what gives it a really fantastical nature of the visuals. Like, not to diss on the scenes where it's just showcasing the guy in his life and trying to woo this woman, but that of course is much more normal, and it's the kind of thing that some people might question why it's even animated. But then of course, once you see the little adventure that the hand is going through, it's like, oh yeah, that's why it's animated, because it's this really out there idea, really more out there than your standard animated feature, even without the adult stuff that's at play. But it works. It is something where I'm like, I wish we would get more movies like this. Like, I'm not saying that they not necessarily all need to be like this, but it is the problem with America and really the whole Western world, but more so on America than anything, treating animation like this thing that you just put in front of your kids just to shut them up for an hour and a half. Because, you go over to whether it's Japan, France, anywhere else in the world, you notice that they do regard animation as an actual medium. Maybe not to a point that they should, not to a point where it's like, hey, look, we're treating it on equal footing as live action, but they at least are much closer to it than we are in many regards. Like, you look at this and, just by the premise alone, it's like, it's amazing that it's even an animated movie, not because it's a movie that necessarily can't be animated, but because, again, we're so used to the whole, here's a talking animal with a funny sidekick, defeating an evil witch or whatever. And, of course, I know that that's a very broad generalization. We've gotten a lot more different with our animated films now, but it's still not enough to a point where it's like, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that an adult could watch without their kid and take it in exactly as they would with an adult feature. And not to diss any of the family features that we get here, whether it's Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks, any of those guys. Yeah, I mean, I like them. I think they're great. I think they're really solid. I like, you know, Toy Story. I like, you know, whether it's Frozen, Coco, any of that stuff. But you can understand why some people just look at that and they're like, eh, you know, that's fine. That's more of a kid's thing than it is for me. Even if those movies do deal with themes that could relate to an adult, there are certain people that will just look at it and just can't see anything that they themselves relate to. And I know that that is partially a problem with the viewer, but at the same time, there is an argument to be made that, you know, it doesn't help that a lot of these movies are still aiming at, like, okay, we have kids in the audience. What exactly would the kids like to see? Whereas something like this, it has those themes that these movies would have, but it doesn't feel like it's going to pander itself to kids. Like, it's not like, okay, let's give the hand a funny face or a funny talking rat sidekick or anything like that. It's like, no, we're presenting it as is. This is the story we're telling. This is the story we're doing. Kids are probably not going to like it for that reason, and that's okay. And yeah, fine. It is nice to give kids movies of their own, but animation shouldn't just be the place that is like, okay, here's the movies that will appeal to kids. There are going to be good for adults as well, but they're always going to be appealing to kids. It needs to understand that. People need to understand that it is an art form that can tell stories that can work only for adults. And that's, again, perfectly fine. I don't want it to be any other way. I don't want it to be just one thing or another. It could be both, and it should be both. The same way live action is both. The same way that, you know, you'll have your classic movies that kids will watch, like Star Wars, the Marvel movies, any of that stuff, Wizard of Oz. But then at the same time, you're like, okay, we have that for the, you know, for everyone. But here are the stuff that is going to be for some of the older viewers when they just want to feel something else. Like, you know, Citizen Kane, Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's a bit more family friendly, but, you know, it is more towards adults than it is for kids, of course, in comparison to the Star Wars and whatnot. One of the closest ones to do that in terms of a recent animated film that hit it big was Pinocchio, which thankfully won the Best Animated Feature Award. Not that it needed to, but it is nice to see that, hey, look, Guillermo del Toro was rewarded with that, because while kids could definitely watch that, it's much closer to I Lost My Body in terms of the way it presents itself to its audience than it is to your standard animated feature. Yeah, that's very much a needed victory for this. It's something that I think we could benefit more from, just seeing, you know, more movies done in this way, you know, just being like, okay, this is going to be for adults. And, you know, while we do get like the more adult stuff in this country, I'm not saying we don't. Stuff like The Simpsons, Family Guy, it's like, it still has to rely itself on making the audience laugh with material that is aimed towards the adults, which, nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's like, we can tell these stories without having to do that. And it's a shame that that's the closest that America gets to it. Whereas wherever else you go in the world, you get movies like The Illusionist, or this, or, you know, Akira, where it's like, these are dramas in the art form. And yeah, it certainly takes advantage of it. And again, not against jokes, But it would be nice to see that more often with our works. And if there's any hope that I have within the next decade, is that animation finally moves out of what essentially feels like a little ghetto for it in the West, where it's like, it's just, here's the thing that you use for your kids. Occasionally we'll acknowledge that there are stuff for adults, but we have to pepper in a bunch of like dick jokes, sex jokes, all that kind of stuff. But that's a whole larger discussion, and I don't want to take away more than I already have from this movie, because at the end of the day, this was the focus of this week's episode. And yeah, I Lost My Body is a very beautiful movie that you should definitely watch, whether it's the tension from seeing how the hand will make it home, or the tension from just seeing like how far will this guy go to get his love, and whether or not that's actually going to work, and just feeling his pain as he realizes like, oh, he messed up. The horror of realizing like, okay, yeah, this is a guy who, is clearly, he's clearly been through a lot. He's been dealt a bad hand in life, but he's still trying, and eventually seeing him succeed, but not in your typical, oh, he got everything he wanted kind of way, in a way where he finally realized what exactly he's doing that's right in the world. And that's just very powerful, and it's the kind of stuff that I definitely want more out of animation as an art form, especially considering that, yeah, you can tell so many stories in the world as an animated feature, whether it's stop motion, computer animated, or 2D, that explains how you're feeling or how you might not be at your worst, even when it feels like it. I don't know. It's a beautiful movie, and that's as much as you could really say. I Lost My Body, beautiful movie. I understand why it was so well regarded when it came out. I understand why it was a nominated feature. Wish it had gotten a bit more love, and I kind of wish that I hadn't had waited until now to have watched it, because I had heard about it from back then. But it's one of those things where it's like, the part of the problem is that you get a lot of these movies that aren't, for one reason or another, aren't put in a lot of places, a lot of theaters or whatever, because maybe they're smaller budgets and they don't have the budget to put it in a lot of big screens, or because unfortunately a lot of blockbusters do take up a lot of the screen, and it is a problem that there's no guarantee for these smaller features to get them. But regardless of it, I don't know. I do think it'd be nice if there is one major change within the film industry within the next few years or so, or however long it takes, is to find a way to make these movies more widespread than they have been. Like, granted, not that it's a perfect medium, but it's just funny to me that in one way where something like video games are able to beat out movies is that with a lot of video games, like even the smaller indie stuff, they get like, not that they all get like, like the perfect representation or anything like that, but whenever, if you're able to access it really easily through Steam, Nintendo, and we've seen a lot of indie games make it big through streaming and whatnot, it just feels weird that we don't get that as often with movies. I know why that is to an extent, but at the same time, it's like, if they were able to figure out a way to make that happen for a lot of smaller games, like, to a point that people forget that games like Minecraft were indie games to begin with. I wish it would happen with movies more often. But in any case, like I said before, I Lost My Body, beautiful movie, highly recommended. It's on Netflix, give it a watch, and thanks for listening. I hope to see you again next time. Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcast on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.